Please mark your book to May 307 in just a moment. We'll be singing that song as a means of encouragement to any here that would like to obey the gospel or need to make their life right with God. We also encourage you to open your Bible and your mind as we study some things together this morning. We hope that they will be a benefit to you and that they will be, first of all, true to God and that they might be understood and by more than that, that they might be believed and obeyed. Before I begin this morning, I want to express my personal thanks to the congregation here for your cards and your letters and your thoughts and your prayers during the time of my absence due to the death of my aunt in Arkansas. I want you to know that I deeply appreciate that. I appreciate the men that stood in the pulpit and in my class, took over my duties while I was away. Things went as well as those things can go, and I would ask that you would continue to pray for my Uncle Kenny and his son David as they grieve with the loss of their wife and their mother. Also, on the bulletin board, the young man that we mentioned from time to time that's battling cancer that from Winchester, Kentucky, that was a member down at Lawrenceburg, Christian Chamburn, I put his address on the bulletin board. And it's there on the addresses if you would like to send him a card. From June 21st to 28th, when he is undergoing his treatment, he cannot have visitors. But he loves to get mail, so if you want to send him a card, his address is on the bulletin board and back. I want you to take your Bible out, if you would, and turn to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read some passages, and then we want to let this be a beginning of our study this morning and this evening. Luke chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 38. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She also had a sister called Mary who was set at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" For a period of time, I have been contemplating and putting a series of lessons together entitled "The Christian's Struggles." There are many things as God's people that we struggle with. There are many things that we have to endure and that we must decide and choose in our life that cause us to struggle. And so on for the next few months, over a period of time, not every week, but from time to time, I'm going to look at these lessons entitled "Christian Struggles." Today's lesson is probably the most needed in the whole series, not just for Christians in general, but particularly for this church. I want you to pay close attention to the things that we're going to discuss in this lesson. I've given great thought about this lesson as I put it together, and I also have prayed a great deal about it. I want you to try to absorb the purpose and the meaning of the things that we learn from God's Word concerning one of the struggles that we have in this life. In Luke chapter 10, we read a story about Mary and Martha, who had invited Jesus into their home, and Martha is troubled because she's trying to take care of everyone that was invited, and she's struggling to do it alone because her sister Mary, instead of helping with that, she chose to sit at the feet of the Lord and to listen to him speak. And in our text, it said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." And I think we all, from time to time in our lives, are like Martha. We struggle because we are busy, and we are busy with many things. And we struggle with many things. I want to begin this lesson by telling you that did not make Martha or Mary a bad person. Martha wasn't a bad person because she worried and was troubled about many things. That didn't make her a bad person. It didn't make her immoral because she was struggling and worrying about many things. And she was not lacking in her love for the Lord because she was trying to take care of the people who were there and trying to serve them. None of what the Lord says means that she was any of these things. And the New American Standard Version uses the word bothered. She was bothered by many things. And last, that just means she was distracted. And since she was distracted, thus she struggled. Ladies and gentlemen, and my brethren, I believe it is very apparent that we struggle in this congregation particularly with our busy lives. We just live busy lives. We're just too busy in many, many different things. And we have more to do than we can get done. There's only so many hours in a day. There's only so many days in a week. And there's only so many days in a year. Now, all of us have the same amount of time. But each of us chooses how we fill in the blocks of our time. And so, oftentimes, we have more on our plate than what we can attend to. Much calls for our attention in this life. If we have families, we have children, we have wives, we have husbands, and we have parents who are aged, all of these things take time. They take time away from our lives and take time that we must make in order to take care of these family matters. We also have jobs. Those of us who are not fortunate enough yet to be retired have jobs, and I'm told by many people who are retired that they'd like to go back to work when they have more time. And so just because you retired doesn't mean that you don't have things that you must do. But if you work and you work, you have long hours, you have overtime, you have things that you must do in order to keep pace at work, to be able to do the things that you're paid to do in order to maintain the job that you work in. We also have school if you're a young person. Or if you're an older person, went back to school. That takes time. You got to study. You got to prepare. You got to put in the time in order to fulfill the requirements in order to get the certificate that you're working for. And then we have spiritual matters. We have things that need to be done with the church. We have things to do with our personal study, with our prayer life, with our responsibility to brethren, with our responsibility to this community. And then we have sports people are involved in. Some children are involved in every sport that there is. And so that takes time because they got to go to practice. They got games. They go from here. They go to there. And all of that takes time. And then we have friends that we like to visit and we like to talk to. And we like to help from time to time and we like to spend time with. And, of course, we have hobbies. We like to fish. We like to hunt. Maybe you sew. Maybe you like to do woodworking. Maybe you do other things. And I want you to understand that none of these things on this list are wrong or inappropriate in and of themselves. But they are also not an excuse to leave other things undone that need to be done, that should be done, that require our attention, that require our time, and require our effort. In other words, this life can make you so busy that you have no time for those things that are truly important and should have priority in our lives. And brethren, there are so many examples that I could point to that point this out. But I'm going to let you fill in the blank. I'm going to let you fill in the blank to see if maybe our schedules are just too busy and too busy because we are too busy minding too many things. Now, I want us to know, first of all, that this is a common struggle. This is not something new. This is not something that just came up. This is not something that we're the first people to struggle with this. This is a common struggle that plagues God's people everywhere. And it's a common struggle in trying to serve God. Almost anyone has a common struggle of having a busy life. Everybody believes their life's busy. Everybody believes that they're busy in what they're doing in their life. And they believe that what they're doing is important, and everything they're doing is something that needs to be done. And so everybody understands that they have a busy life. This is true of Christians, and it's true of non-Christians. You could talk to people who are not members of the Lord's church, people who live out in the world. They have busy lives. They're busy doing this, they're busy doing that. Just because they're not a Christian doesn't mean they're not busy. They're busy. People are busy in life. We live in a very busy society. And we all have many things that demand our time. We just listed a number of them. And our jobs, our families, our household, our yard chores, our personal interests. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to something very plain. I'm going to make this as plain as I can. None of the blessings, and that's what everything on this list is, whether you're talking about family, whether you're talking about your mate, whether you're talking about your children, your grandchildren, whether you're talking about your job, whether you're talking about your home, whether you're talking about the job, the opportunity that that job provides you, whether you're talking about the relationships that you have outside of this place and our relationship as brethren, none of these things that God has blessed us with are to be in competition with His work, His business, and His church. All of these are given to us as an expression of His love, His care, His watch care for us, and they were never given to us to be in competition to take away from the spiritual responsibilities that each and every one of us of this congregation have who are members of this body. Each of us have a duty first and foremost to God. Not because, I hope, not because we have to, but because I hope that we've chosen to put God's things first. And yet, it's very easy in this common struggle to let these other things take precedence, take priority, and to take them away from God. And brethren, it is very easy to convince ourselves and to get in a rut and to believe and to begin to believe and in ourselves that because I attend every time the doors are open, and because I partake of the Lord's Supper, and because I give of my means, and because I do these external things, that my life and my relationship with God is what it ought to be. But I want to suggest to you this morning something that I've been trying to teach and preach ever since I've been here. That being a Christian is not a 2-day-a-week job. It is a lifelong occupation. It is something that we do every day of our lives. We are the eyes and the ears of the Lord here on this earth. We are His lights in this community. When you go out today, you look at that sign that's up on top of the hill. It says, "Ye are the light of the world." That sign is to depict about who we are. We are to be a light that illuminates to those who are lost and dying in sin. We are to use every opportunity that we have and try to reach men and women who are lost and dying in sin. And we do that in a very number of ways. We have a radio program. We have a TV program. We have a very extensive website. We have meetings twice a year. I, for one, and I'm sure there are others here, pass out invitations with cards trying to generate home Bible studies in order to get people to open their homes and to open their hearts in order to study the Bible. And so, everything in this life, we have to make some decisions. We have to make choices on what's more important, what takes precedence, and what takes priority in our lives. Many think they're the only ones. Sometimes we think we're on an island, and we're the only one that's busy, and we're the only one that understands how busy I am, and how many things demand my time, and that somehow I'm somebody special, or that my struggle and my problems are just mine, and other people don't understand. But I want you to know that everybody struggles with this problem. The preacher struggles with it. Men struggle with it. Women struggle with it. We all struggle with it. It is a common, everyday problem that we all struggle with, and we're not the only ones. There are exceptions. They are busier than anyone else. Sometimes we feel that we're busier than everyone else and that they just don't understand. And we've got a lot going on right now. One of the statements that I've heard ever since I became a preacher, is people say, well, I'm busy now, but I'm going to do more when things slow down. When I get things, when things slow down and my life slows down, then I'm going to devote more time to God. Then I'm going to devote more time for spiritual things. But I'm just too busy right now, but I'm going to do that in the future. Well, you know what? The problem with that is life doesn't seem to slow down. It maintains a breakneck speed. And it just seems the more we try to curb it, the more difficult it becomes in order to get unbusy doing things that we choose to do. It's easy to overcrowd our schedule in a modern world. Brother, you can, and often do, put more things on your plate than you can accomplish. You overdo. You make too many commitments. You make too many promises. You have too many things to do. And then there's not enough hours in a day in order to get it accomplished. And what do you have to do? You have to leave some things undone. You have to take something. You got to shave the list. You got to get rid of some things. And you've got to not give as much time to that particular thing in order to get everything done on your list. Modern convenience only means that we try to do more. You think with all the modern conveniences we have, we can do more in less time, but that doesn't seem to be true. It seems it still takes time no matter all the modern conveniences that we have. Society demands that we keep a full schedule. Society says that we need to be busy. We need to be busy. We need to be productive. We need to be active. We need to make a difference in our community. We need to make a difference as a member of this society. And so we can overcrowd our schedule. Could that be you? Could that be me? Could we be overcrowding our schedules and become busy and worried about many things, but the wrong things and the things that should not be taking precedence in our life? Now, I'm not one for charts, but sometimes they prove a point. Time used on an average of workday for employed persons between 25 and 34 years old. I want you to notice that the two greatest parts of time here is sleeping and working. Well, if you add those two things up, that's almost 16 hours. But that only leaves 8 hours. That's 8 hours for you to do all the other things that you should do. What's the other things? Caring for others, eating and drinking, household activities, to be able to have rest and relaxation, downtime to regenerate your batteries. And all that's necessary. All those things are necessary. But how much time you put in that pie is something that you determine. I determine. The leisure time of an average day. The average person watches TV for 2.5 hours a day. Other leisure activities are 29 minutes. Playing games are 19 minutes. Relaxing and thinking is 19 minutes. And reading is 19 minutes. And socializing and communicating and using skills is about 46 minutes. But you notice the largest segment of this is watching on television. Again, there's nothing wrong with watching television. There's nothing wrong with watching sports, watching movies. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But if it consumes my life, if it's something that takes up a large part of my day and doesn't leave any time for anything else, then maybe I need to reevaluate that. And then we have different things for people who go to college. Younger people, you can relate to this. When you have to go to college, there's a lot of different things you have to do. You got to study. You got to prepare. You got to go here. You got to go there. And you just have to do things in order to maintain the pace that you're on to get accomplished what you need to get done. And what I'm trying to tell you in these charts is I understand, and God understands, that all these things demand time. All these things demand time of us. But each of us have to determine where we're going to place the time and what are we going to put the emphasis on and what's going to be the most productive use of our time. Now, what's going to be the most productive use of our time? What is going to be the best use of using our time in a way that's going to help us do the things that God would have us to do? Now, Now that I've related what the struggle is, the problem with managing our time, managing our schedule, now that I've identified the struggle, what are the reasons that we struggle? Why do we struggle with this problem? Why do we struggle with our busy schedules and our busy lives? What is the reasons that this happens? Well, first of all, is that we fail to recognize the problem. We fail to recognize the problem because we've lived in it so long, we can't see it anymore. We've done it for so long, and it's become such a routine and such a part of our lives that we don't give any thought to it. We don't even think about it. We don't even consider it. And we don't even understand that we're having this problem. And so the first major thing is that we don't recognize the problem. Number two is we don't know what to do about the problem. We know we're busy. We know we have things to do. And we know that we got things we have to accomplish. But we don't know how to fix it. We don't know how to change it. In other words, we don't know how to get off the treadmill. We don't know how to get off the merry-go-round. We don't know how to stop the busyness in our schedule. Well, what are you going to do about that? What are we going to do in order to recognize the problem? And then when we recognize it, what are we going to do to fix it? There has to be reasons that we fail to recognize the problem. And there has to be reasons why we fail to do the things to correct the problem. Well, I believe there are. Reasons for our problem. Materialism. We spend time working, building careers, making money, to have more money, and to have more money, and to have more things. And I'm not here to tell you that it's wrong to get ahead. It's not. And I'm not here to tell you it's wrong to have possession, because it's not. And I'm not here to tell you that it's wrong to build a career. But ladies and gentlemen, it is wrong to build a career. It is wrong to accumulate possessions. It is wrong to accumulate things if you spend your spiritual relationship to God and your duty to God in order to gain it. Then it becomes wrong. It becomes wrong. Now, brethren, let me ask you an honest question. Who has the responsibility for the work of this church? Who has the duty to do the things that need to be done on a regular basis to get the things accomplished that God put us here to do? Whose responsibility is it? Does it reside in one person? Does it reside in just a small group of us? Or does it reside in each and every one of us who wear His name, who are members of this church, and are part of the body of Christ? I believe if you read 1 Corinthians 12, you'll find the answer. And the answer is it takes every member, every part of the body, in order to get the work done that God calls upon the church to do. Second thing that often happens is we're fascinated with fun. We like recreation. We like entertainment. We like sports. We like hobbies. And we spend a great deal of time doing them. And again, nothing wrong with sports. Nothing wrong with hobbies. Nothing wrong with entertainment. And there's nothing wrong with travel. Nothing wrong with any of that. None of those are a sin in and of themselves. But if they are a priority in our lives, and if our life revolves around what I want to do, and the things I want to do, and the things that I want to participate in, if my life revolves around that, then there is a problem in our priorities. The third thing that often makes this a problem is we don't practice self-discipline. We don't know how to say no. We don't know how to say no to some of the things that we do. And one of the hardest people to say no to is ourselves. We don't know how to say no to ourselves. We don't know how to say no, that I shouldn't be doing this or I shouldn't be doing that because I could be better using my time to do this thing or to do that thing. But we seem to have a problem to be able to say no to others and to ourselves. Now, these are some of the reasons that we have this problem. Why can't we see the problem? Why can't we see the problem that lies before us? Why is it that we can't see it? Well, what we are doing is not wrong in and of itself. That's one of the reasons we can't recognize the problem. See, it's not wrong to spend time with your family. It's not wrong to spend time in recreation or in hobbies. It's not wrong working for a living. It's not wrong spending time with your mate. It's not wrong spending time with your children or grandchildren. It's not wrong socializing with your friend. None of that's wrong. And since none of that's wrong, then it's hard to understand why we have the problem, because the things that we're involved in, in and of themselves, are not wrong. The problem is not the things that we involve ourselves in. The problem is the time that we allow for them to do them. That's the problem. Number two, what we are doing may be good and productive. It's good to build strong families. Matter of fact, God tells us to do that. Men and women need to build strong families. They need to spend time with their mates. They need to spend time with their children and their grandchildren. And they need to spend time with one another as brethren. We need to do that. And that's good and productive. We give attention to some important things. I'm here every week. I get my lesson done. I give of my means. I take of the Lord's Supper. I do those things. I give my time and attention to some important things. So in many people's minds, that's enough. And that suffices, and that makes us believe that we're spiritual-minded and that we have first things first. We talk about it, but we do little about it. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this point. We can sometimes talk something to death before we ever do anything about it. Or we know what we need to do. Or we know what we ought to do. And we know that this needs to be accomplished, but we just talk about it. We don't finish it, we just talk about it. We talk about we're going to do it. And you know one of the most clearest ways that I can explain this, that I can get you to see it, is to read the men's business meeting notes. And read about the things that we determined to do. And then take a look at the next month that comes around. And see what the notes say in the second month. We all know what needs to be done. But talking about it doesn't get it done. You've got to act upon it. And here's the biggest problem. We view our busy life as a temporary problem. It's going to slow down. I'm going to have more time. It's going to get better. And I'm going to be able to dedicate more time to the Lord. That's my intention. That's what I plan to do. And it's going to happen. But let me tell you, it will never happen unless you make it happen. You can wish it. You can wish it from now till doomsday. And it will never change until you change it. All the good intentions that you and I have will not make one difference in God's work. Action is what makes differences. Doing is what makes a difference. Our busy life will never become less busy unless we choose to make it less busy. That's a decision that I can make in my life, but I cannot make it in your life. And you can't make it in anybody else's life. You can only make that decision in your own life. Now, I know that the tendency is to think that this is a problem for other people but not me. What I would like you to do in this particular lesson is don't worry about other people. I want you to just concentrate on you. Just think about your life, your choices, your personal life and the choices you're making. Don't worry about someone else. Just apply this lesson to yourself. I want to read you something. I usually don't use quotes from other people, but there was a quote I came across that I thought was very appropriate that I want to share with you. It says, "I don't even know any men who are running at a breathless pace. Most of these husbands and fathers will admit that they're working too hard. But an interesting response occurs when this subject is raised. They have honestly convinced themselves that their overcommitment is a temporary problem. Most people can tell you with a straight face that the pressures they feel are the result of temporary circumstances. Their future will be less hectic. A slower day is coming. A light shines at the end of a dark tunnel. Unfortunately, their optimism is usually unjustified. It is my observation that the hope for a period of tranquility rarely arrives. Instead, these short-term pressures have a way of becoming sandwiched back-to-back so that families emerge from one crisis and sail directly into another. Thus, we live our entire lives in the fast lane, hurling down the road towards heart failure. We have deluded ourselves into believing that circumstances have forced us to work too hard for a short time, when in fact we are driven from within. We lack the discipline to limit our entanglements with the world, choosing instead to be dominated by our work and the materialistic gadgetry that it will bring. And what is sacrificed in the process are loving relationships with wife, children, and friends who give meaning to life, and I would add to that, and also our service to God is what we sacrifice in the process. Now I want to ask you a question. Is it worth it to lose our family, to lose our children, to lose our soul in order to obtain what I want to do in this life? Is it worth it? I want you to think about that. Because those are the kind of choices that we're making. Those are the kind of decisions that we are called upon to make every day of our lives. We are called upon to take the position that we must choose the things and the courses that we pursue. Please take your Bible and turn to Matthew 6. And you know this passage by heart.
Matthew 6:33.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. What I want you to think about for a moment is that last part. Other things. If we seek God's kingdom first, then we have a divine promise by God, who cannot lie, that all these other things will take care of themselves. If I have my priorities straight, I'm not going to go hungry. I'm going to be able to pay my bills. I'm going to be able to maintain the relationship with my wife or husband. I'm going to be able to have a good relationship with my children. And I'm going to be able to see my grandchildren. I'm going to be able to do all those things, and I'm going to be something that I'm going to be able to do if I seek the kingdom of God first. First, these other things will be taken care of by God. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you believe what God said? Do you believe that God will make good on that promise? That if we seek His things first, that these other things will be added unto you? Do you believe that? And if you do believe it, is it demonstrated by the choices that you make in your life? Does it demonstrate your belief in what Jesus said? I want you to understand that this is a dangerous, dangerous struggle. And you know why it's dangerous? Because it has eternal consequences. This is a struggle you don't want to get wrong because of what it will cost if we're wrong. Busy schedules simply crowd things out. It's just, you know what it is? It's common sense. If you've got more on your plate than you can accomplish, or you've got too much time allocated for things that you need to take some of that time away, then if you're going to be able to accomplish all the things that you want to do, it's common sense that something's going to be sliding. Something's going to have to give way, to make time for the other things. And unfortunately, the first thing that usually gets slighted is things that belong to God. Spiritual things. And so we get too busy. Too busy to worship. Too busy to study the Bible. Too busy to pray. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you went to personally see one of our shut-ins? Personally. When's the last time you went and tried to encourage someone that seems to be having a difficult time and hasn't been here for a while? When's the last time you called them to find out where they're at or to see if there's anything you could do? When's the last time on a Sunday morning when you miss someone here, you don't see them, and when you go home Sunday afternoon, you call them, or maybe even Monday morning, and see if they're okay and see if there's anything you can do? When's the last time you read the prayer list and prayed for the people that's on that list? Can't remember? When's the last time you prepared to study your lesson before you got here on Sunday morning? I have a question for you. And I just want you to think about this. I want to know how you prepare. When we had the geography class, had it for a year, one day I went through the auditorium and counted 11 books in the pews. I want to know how you make your map. I want to know how you do your lesson when you leave your book here. How you do that. Another question I often wonder is today, and today Brother Mel, in his prayer just a few moments ago, he prayed about the building that sits over there on College Street. It's on the overhead every time it's up there. It's on the back of your bulletin. But I can count the number in my hand in the last 4 months that it's been mentioned in public prayer behind these microphones when we pray. And if it's not mentioned here, I wonder how many times it's mentioned in our personal prayers to God. Are we even concerned? Do we even care? Or is that somebody else's problem? Family. Less time for our children. Less time in our marriages. It makes for weak marriages. It makes for poor relationship with our children. Our friends, our brethren. Time to relax, take care of ourselves. You know what? When you make poor decisions on how you use your time, then it affects a lot of different things. And sometimes that, what you lack, what you didn't take time for that you should have, it doesn't show itself to years later. And then we regret. And then we think, what happened? I want to give you two examples. Things that happened here. And then the lesson will be yours for this morning. In the last 6 months, on at least 4 different occasions, I've been down here on Saturday afternoon cleaning the building for someone else who was supposed to clean it and didn't. It didn't get somebody to take their place in case they were sick. Or in case they didn't do it. I've also went by the old building, and on a number of occasions, the grass is growing because the last 2 or 3 people that were supposed to do it didn't do it. They just left it undone. Now, why does that happen? Those lists are on the board. Anybody can see them. It's on the back of your bulletin every Sunday. Who has what? Who's responsible for what? Why do those things happen? Why do they happen? I know why they happen. Because the priority is not there. That's why it happens. Now, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? It does mean, I don't like lessons like this, but sometimes the only way to get a point across is to lay the facts on the line. And we need to make some changes. We need to focus ourselves on what we're here to do and what is our responsibility to do it. I want to tell you two things. Number one, all the spiritual work that needs to be done at this congregation is not my responsibility. A lot of you know that in the last few months, I lost a bunch of weight. I needed to. But I wonder how many of you know why I was packing it on. If you want to know, ask me. I'll tell you. Second thing I'd like you to know is the things that have to be done around this building and around the other building are not for a select few. It's not just one person's job. It's all of our jobs. And it should be shared equally and not by just a few. Now again, we've all determined we're going to do this. And we make those lists out. I make those lists out way ahead of time. So it's not because we don't know. We just forget. But why do we forget? Because it's not something that's a priority. Now again, remember, I just want you to focus on you. Don't worry about anybody else. Just focus on you. Could this be you? Could this be me? And if it is, and I have the problem, what am I going to do about it? Tonight, we're going to talk about the warnings. There are so many warnings in the Bible given by God about the danger of getting too busy in the wrong thing. And we'll talk about that tonight. Please take your psalm books out and turn to the book and the song that Brother Rutherford has suggested as an invitation song. If you're here, you're not a Christian, you don't want to close this service without giving you an opportunity to become one. And if you are here and you need to make some corrections, slide, we want to give you the opportunity to do that also. If we can help you in any way, we bid you to come forward as together we stand as we sing.